Item number three is a text amendment. City Winnipeg zoning bylaw number 200 of 2006, downtown Transcona plan development overlay under file DAZ 206 of 2010.
Okay. Information here from the clerk. Well, I think they must know that they're being called up. Okay. I'd like to call the applicant up. It's the applicant is Valdine Buckley from the City of Winnipeg, accompanied by Susan Russell. Good evening, ladies. Wow. That's a compact stand.
We're here tonight is to consider an amendment to the Winnipeg zoning bylaw to create a plan development overlay for downtown Transcona. This proposal has been advertised in two newspapers 14 days in advance of the hearing to satisfy the statutory notice requirement under the City of Winnipeg Charter. And as well, a letter has been sent to all property owners within the study area to notify them personally of the proposal. What's a plan development overlay? The zoning bylaw, as you know, is a very blunt tool to use in terms of land use, and it's very black and white. So it's a sort of one-size-fits-all approach, and regulations apply citywide. But as you know, there are unique character areas in the city, and downtown Transcona has been identified as one of those areas. And a plan development overlay gives us an opportunity to customize the zoning to address unique situations in that area. In this case, we're using the plan development overlay as a tool to assist us in achieving or preserving the theme of the area, which has been determined by the community to be an old English hometown character. And the plan development overlay modifies the bundle of development standards that applies to each property to customize the zoning bylaw for that area. It will speak to how development will look and the form and the massing and the scale of buildings in the area. A plan development overlay is adopted as part of the zoning bylaw, and it's not retroactive, so it does not affect existing development. Existing development is grandfathered, or in other words, it maintains a non-conforming right. The intent is that the plan development overlay would be in place, and all future development applications within that 12-block study area would be reviewed against the PDO, and incrementally changes would occur in the area to achieve the ultimate vision of the old English hometown character. We entered this process to develop the plan development overlay to build on the work that's already been done in the area through downtown streetscaping revitalization study and other programs that are occurring through the initiative of the business improvement zone, like a storefront improvement program, other local area planning projects, public investments in the area, and active transportation, and so on. So this is just another tool in that package to assist in the revitalization of Transcona. In January of this year, we hired a consulting team to undertake the Neighborhood Main Street Zoning Review Project, which we're operating in three neighborhoods in the city, St. Norbert, Transcona, and on Academy Road. And Susan Russell from McGowan Russell Design Group was focusing her efforts on this area of Transcona as part of that consulting team. The study area that we're looking at, as I said, is a 12-block area bounded on Yale on the north, Pandora on the south, and Winona on the west, and Kanata on the east. And it's shown on the first map in your presentation. The intent is to create a vibrant, pedestrian-oriented Main Street area in downtown Transcona, encouraging business and economic development and accommodating additional residential development to achieve that revitalization. So the first step in this exercise was a visioning process that was led by Susan. And there was four public engagements that we held. The first was a workshop to establish the proposed land use areas and design principles. The second was a public open house to gauge resident and public support for those land use areas and principles. Then we had some facilitated discussions to review and discuss the draft plan development overlay and urban design guidelines. And fourth, we had a second public open house to gauge public support. The attendees at these public events came from a wide range of stakeholders, the business improvement zone, property owners, business owners, residents within the study area, and residents from outside the study area. We had very strong public and stakeholder support for the initiatives, upwards of 80 to 100% in some cases. The second step in the process was to identify the main character areas in downtown Transcona. And you can see from the map that we generally had two major areas, the first along Regent Avenue as a Main Street area, and second, the downtown Transcona living area, area number two. Within each of those areas, there were sub-areas that were defined by some mixed use within those areas. The third step was the creation and development of the regulations in the plan development overlay. As you know, a zoning bylaw is made up of three distinct components: uses, zoning districts, and development standards. And the plan development overlay had an effect on only two of those, the uses and development standards. The zoning districts within that 12-block study area are not changing. So I want to go into a little bit more detail now on what exactly were the key changes that will be occurring as part of this plan development overlay, starting with use regulations in Area 1 and 1A. Some land uses are being changed from permitted and conditional uses to prohibited uses, as the community felt that they were not consistent with the desired character for the area. For example, pawn shops, check cashing facilities, X-rated stores, drive-in or drive-through establishments, advertising signs, and some auto-oriented uses. Next, residential and residential-related uses will be changed from conditional uses to permitted uses in Area 1A. So the existing residential uses that are there will be allowed to remain without any effects. Uses that have potential compatibility issues with adjacent development are going to be changed from permitted uses to conditional uses, so that there's a little bit more scrutiny of those uses and public review through a public hearing process before they can be approved. And those ones include auto repair and service, drinking establishments. The existing ones that are in that area that become conditional uses will be deemed to be an approved conditional use by this process, so they should not be affected. Some land uses will be subject to new use-specific standards to mitigate the impacts on the surrounding neighborhood. For example, drinking establishments will be restricted to a maximum of 1,000 square feet, reduced from the normally 5,000 square feet in the C2 zoning district. Retail sales will be restricted to 25,000 square feet. And residential and residential-related uses will only be allowed to be established on any floor higher than the ground floor. So above the ground floor. Next, in Area 1, I want to talk about development and design standards. And here we are going to look at enhanced requirements for the height of buildings. So buildings over 35 feet need to be set back a minimum of 4 feet from the front property line. Buildings over 25 feet on the south side of Regent Avenue require a solar impact study. And that is to address the solar panels that are powering the street lights, the ornamental street lights. In terms of additional yard requirements, all buildings must have a front yard of 0 feet, so they must be right up to the property line. But minor setbacks within the building will be allowed to accommodate patios and cafes and those sorts of things. And development standards for parking and loading will be enhanced. Accessory parking and loading areas must be located behind a building and not be abutting Regent Avenue. Also, we're affecting signs. Some signs will no longer be permitted, including electronic message center signs, freestanding signs, mobiles, roof signs, and flashing signs. And we want to try to enhance the landscaping and buffering standards in the area to make it more green. And so we are looking at improving the landscaping over and above what's required by the zoning bylaw. Next, into Area 2 and 2A, this area is characterized by a broad mix of residential uses, but also some sub-areas of commercial mixed use on certain streets. And the Area 2 and 2A contains a mix of existing zoning districts from R1 to R2, multiple families districts, C1 and C2 commercial districts. There's a spot of parks and recreation zoning, as well as some M1 zoning, industrial. In terms of the uses, some land uses very similar to Area 1 will be changed from permitted and conditional to prohibited uses. For example, pawn shops, check cashing facilities, X-rated stores, drive-in or drive-through advertising signs, and some auto-oriented uses. Also, industrial, all the commercial sales and service uses that are listed in that category in the zoning bylaw, as well as motor vehicle-related uses, will be prohibited except in Area 2A. Which is quite a large area within Area 2. So, for example, hotels, drinking establishments, restaurant, office, personal service, retail sales, and so on, would be prohibited except in those in that sub-area. And uses that have potential compatibility issues with adjacent development will be changed to conditional uses like auto repair and service, car wash, and drinking establishments. And some other uses will have use-specific standards applied to them so that the impacts of those uses can be mitigated, like drinking establishments being restricted in size, and offices, personal services, restaurants, and retail sales also restricted in size. Similar design standards will apply in Area 2, as you heard in Area 1. Specifically, the height of buildings would be restricted to 80 feet, must not exceed 80 feet. Accessory parking and loading areas must be either behind the or beside the building. Signs, some signs will not be permitted, like electronic message center signs, freestanding signs greater than 6 feet, mobile signs, roof signs, and flashing signs. And we are also looking at additional landscaping standards in that area. All of the applications will be subject to urban design review. We're proposing a split in the level of approval for urban design review. Your community committee will make decisions on all applications in Area 1 and urban design review applications for new construction, expansion, or signage in Area 2. The director would make decisions on all other design review applications in Area 2. And it should be noted that that does not apply to single and two-family dwellings. Also, to complement the plan development overlay, we're proposing the creation of urban design guidelines for downtown Transcona to raise the bar and provide a higher standard of site and building design for the area. This would include details on building materials, the form and style of the building, the scale, the rhythm of window and door openings along the street, site design, parking lot design and layout, and fencing, consistent with the old English hometown theme. And those design guidelines can be enhanced over time as they evolve and they are applied to see what works well, and they can be enhanced. They are to be considered as minimum standards, and we're hoping that the development community will even exceed them. And alternatives can be considered that meet the intent of the guidelines and respond to unique site conditions or context. And I can provide further details on the urban design guidelines if you would like. Generally, we're looking at materials and the style and scale that are consistent with the theme of the Old English hometown, providing continuity of the horizontal elements in buildings, ensuring that buildings are generally developed at the same scale and massing that's already there on the street, that we try to avoid long blank walls along the street, and that there's some breakup of the facade. Also, we're requesting solar impact studies be developed to make sure that the new buildings, and in terms of the height of the building, doesn't impact the solar panels on the street. And also trying to achieve pedestrian level signage so that most signs would be mounted as either fascia, canopy, awning, or projecting signs rather than roof signs and signs that are more oriented to the motorist rather than to pedestrians. Also in area two, we're looking at, again, applying that theme, trying to create an active street level, making sure that any infill development is sensitive to the area and mitigates the impact on adjacent development. So we want to make sure that lighting impacts are considered, the parking lot locations are to the back of buildings, that there's comparable rear yard setbacks, service areas don't interfere with the existing residences in the area, and that sort of thing. Also signage as well. As part of the report, we also had the consultant consider complementary issues to the plan development overlay, and I wanted to walk you through some of those recommendations that came from the consultant and what the Winnipeg Public Service response to those would be. The consulting team recommended that we address the zoning of some properties on the north side of Pandora Avenue between Day and Winona, which are currently zoned industrial, whereas the existing use of those properties are commercial and residential. So, for example, the Pandora Inn being one property, and the existing residences along the street between the Petro-Can and the Pandora Inn. This zoning amendment has already been initiated. Your community passed a motion to that effect, and that's being considered by the public service right now, and a report will be forthcoming separately. Next, the consultant recommended that the minimum vertical clearances required to the base of projecting signs, onopies, and canopies above the sidewalk grade specified in the zoning bylaw and the encroachment bylaws are not consistent, so they asked us to consider rationalizing those levels. In addition, they don't meet the public works requirement for snow clearing. So there's three different things happening there, and we want to make sure that those are consistent. The consultant recommended that an interdepartmental review process be undertaken, and the Winnipeg Public Service supports that. So we provided a recommendation to that effect in the report. Next, there's discussion during this process about drug paraphernalia stores, which are commonly called head shops, which are deemed to have a negative impact on the character and safety of downtown Transcona and sort of fly in the face of what we're trying to achieve with this plan development overlay. And the community and the consultant are recommending that they be prohibited. We wanted to note that selling drug paraphernalia is already a criminal offense under the criminal code, and as such, for us to regulate the location of an illegal activity through a land use bylaw may be open to legal challenge. The Property and Development Committee has already requested a report from the Winnipeg Public Service on this matter for regulating permitted locations of head shops, and this is an issue that we feel should be dealt with at the broad citywide level rather than being addressed in a local context, so that there isn't differing regulations across the city on this particular land use. Next, there was a suggestion about prohibiting advertising signs, including kiosks and sandwich boards in the street right of way, and the Winnipeg Public Service supports that, and the Neighborhood Livability Bylaw can be amended to name Regent Avenue between Winona and Kanata as a designated street in Schedule A of that bylaw, which would prohibit temporary signs in the street right of way. So we have included a recommendation to that effect in the report. Next, the Winnipeg Parking Authority should be directed to prepare a parking management plan to address issues of inadequate and conflicting demands for parking. and we're suggesting that the Transcona Biz should be encouraged to work with the parking authority to determine if that is indeed feasible and the best tool to use to address that issue. Next, the consultant also recommended that a secondary plan be prepared to discourage the encroachment of commercial uses into the surrounding residential area outside of the planned development overlay boundary to protect existing housing stock and support region as a neighborhood main street. And the Winnipeg Public Service is indicating that Transcona is not currently on our list of approved secondary plan projects for the department, and the R. Winnipeg plan is just in the process of being released. It was just recently advertised in the newspaper, and we'll be receiving further direction on local area planning from that document, and that should provide further guidance to us in terms of the development of secondary plans and local area plans for this area. Next, they indicated that a development of a public gathering space should be addressed, including a large pedestrian plaza at a prominent location with seating areas and patios. And I understand that the Biz is already working with the city's real estate branch to address the acquisition of land and funding for streetscape improvements. So that's underway. And lastly, that all development on private land should be compliant with City Winnipeg Universal Design Policy, where private land intersects with public property. As you know, the city has accessibility design standards that are applied to projects on city-owned and leased land or projects funded by the city. We agree that use of these standards should be encouraged along with the concept of CEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. Currently, there's no requirement to apply those standards on privately owned land, and we feel that that's more of a policy issue. And I also understand that the province of Manitoba may be addressing this issue more from a legislative point of view. So to sum up, in terms of our recommendations, we wanted to make a correction to the first recommendation, that the wording of it be changed to that the Winnipeg Zoning Bylaw number 200 of 2006 be amended as outlined in Appendix B, by adding Schedule M, the Downtown Transcona PDO, attached as Appendix C. I missed including the reference to Appendix B, which is the draft amending bylaw, so that should be incorporated into the recommendation. Next time we would just combine the two of them together as one appendix. And secondly, that the Downtown Transcona Urban Design Guidelines be approved by your community committee and also the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development, and those are attached as Appendix D. Next, that the public service be directed to review the zoning bylaw, the encroachment bylaw, and public works internal administrative policies and procedures to ensure there's consistency on the vertical clearance over the sidewalk. And lastly, that Schedule A of the neighborhood livability bylaw be amended to name Regent Avenue as a designated street. And as you know, the next steps would be that the community would either recommend approval with amendments, or rejection of this plan development overlay, and your recommendations proceed to P&D committee and then to council for three readings as a zoning bylaw amendment.
Sorry, thank you, Valdi. Perhaps before we go on to Ms. Russell's presentation, we'll take a 5-minute break here before we go on to questions and break. Sorry? Oh, okay, so you're not presenting today. Okay, before we move on to questions, though, we'll take a quick 5-minute break here. So if you guys could just return to the chair here. Return up here in just a moment. Thanks. We'll suspend for 5 minutes.